Simultaneously.
I can feel it all over me when you hold me,
she whimpered.
Just don't let go.
Fuck, Ethic thought, as he rested his chin on top of her head. Women like Alani were his weakness, damaged, genuine, and beautiful. He didn't know why he attracted the same type, perhaps because he had never successfully saved any of the ones he had lost. This woman's chaos was caused by him, which meant he couldn't have her, despite her need for him. They broke their embrace when the sprinklers came on, soaking them with water. Alani squealed as Ethic reached for his belongings, and they made the trek across the grass to his truck. When they were out of the spray zone, Alani asked,
How did you know I was here?
Well, I was here visiting, and I heard you crying. I couldn't just leave you,
he answered. Alani looked at him curiously. His type of manhood was an endangered species. She appreciated the pieces of his time he allowed her to spend with him.
Thank you, Ethic,
she said. She backpedaled.
You know, I wouldn't mind if you called me sometime. Maybe we could get coffee and you can tell me about who you were here to see. My number is on the paperwork at your shop.
She paused as she stared at him, wondering how this man she barely knew brought so much comfort to her wounded soul.
Okay, bye.
He nodded as he watched her walk toward her car, knowing that he would never call. He didn't move until she drove away. He would have to keep his distance from her, because seeing her face reminded him of the monster that dwelled within the pits of him. Hustling had hardened him, had made murder just another day's work. That type of man was incapable of remorse, and that type of man was one that karma couldn't wait to meet. He never wanted his children to reap what he had sown, which is why he had walked away from the streets. Reacting to Lucas had pulled him back to a place where a father didn't belong, and he hoped he didn't lose everything he had built because of it. Chapter 12. 6 weeks later. Morgan didn't know why she was so anxious. This was the moment she had wanted her entire life. She sat on the exam table inside Dr. Hamady's private office, and her chest heaved up and down.
You nervous?
Bella signed. Morgan nodded.
Everything's gonna be fine. The hard part is over. This is the final step.
Ethic signed to her.
Can you hear me yet?
Easy shouted. Morgan laughed as she read his lips.
Not yet, Easy, she signed.
Dr. Hamady entered the room, and Morgan's heart beat rapidly.
What if it doesn't work?
She thought. Her hopes were high, and she knew she would be devastated if this didn't end how she anticipated.
Today's the day,
Dr. Hamady said as he signed simultaneously. She nodded as he examined the incisions behind her ears. Morgan had been in the mirror almost daily, monitoring the cuts and putting different creams on them to minimize the scarring. They were practically invisible.
You've healed beautifully,
Dr. Hamady signed.
You ready to turn on the implants?
He asked. Morgan smiled, her nerves visible, as she shook her foot rapidly, trying to shake out some of the energy. The doctor pulled a rolling stool in front of her and opened a laptop in his lap. As he powered on the control that activated the tiny devices that now lived in her head.
Okay, you may have some swelling. We may have to just adjust the strength of the implant a couple of times before we get it right. I'm going to run some tests to make sure all the impedances are firing correctly so we can get some stimulation in the ear canals. I'll turn it up slowly as we talk, and you let me know what you can hear. It may seem very loud because you've never been able to hear anything before. It will take some getting used to. You will probably feel the vibrations of sound before you hear anything, okay?
Morgan was reading his lips now because his hands were busy typing codes into his laptop. She nodded her confirmation. She was more ready than she would ever be.
Now, Ezra here thought it was important for the first voice you hear to be someone special, so we aren't going to say anything. I'm going to play something for you, and when you hear it, you let me know.
Morgan sat still, waiting on pins and needles, as the doctor began turning up the frequency on the implants.
Can she hear yet?
Easy asked in excitement.
Shh!
Ethic coached.
Not yet, big man. It's coming, though. You'll know when she hears it.
Morgan frowned as she waited. She couldn't hear anything, but there was a vibrating in her ears that made them feel like they were itching. She stuck her fingers in them.
It probably feels odd to her. It's a normal reaction.
Dr. Hammity said aloud. Morgan winced, as the high-frequency ring hurt her ears.
Does it hurt?
The doctor asked. Morgan was still focused on reading his lips, so he knew she couldn't hear yet. She nodded.
Okay, I'm gonna lower the frequency and come back up again.
Morgan nodded. She was already feeling defeated. Her disappointment was written all over her face. The doctor handed her a pair of headphones.
Press play. Try it now.
Morgan sighed, ready to give up, but she did as she was told, when a deep baritone voice began to play in her ears, and tears came to her eyes.
Now let me tell you something, young blood. There's nothing like the love a man feels for his children. Raven and Morgan are the greatest gifts a man could possess. Raven knows it. She knows she's a jewel, but Morgan, my baby girl, doesn't even know it. She was born differently and doesn't even realize it's the rocks with the most flaws that turn into the finest diamonds.
Morgan's heart stopped and her hands began to tremble. She was hearing her father's voice for the first time. It was something she had never dreamed she would ever get to experience. He had died a long time ago when she was just a young girl. And here she was, a grown woman, hearing him whisper affirmations in her ear. A laugh escaped her, as she smiled, and heavy drops of emotion fell out of her eyes. She covered her mouth in shock as she closed her eyes.
I'll protect my girls until my dying day. I've never loved anyone like I love them, and I don't entrust them with just anyone. And just the fact that I gave you the responsibility of taking them with you to protect for the night means you family. There are niggas I've known for 20 years that I wouldn't put in the same vicinity as my girls. They're my everything. Justine is the sun, Raven is the moon, and then Morgan. Baby girl, she's my youngest, and she's the whole damn universe. I'll move heaven and earth for them. Thank you for what you did today.
Why's she crying, Daddy? Can she hear?
Easy asked impatiently. Ethic nodded.
She can hear.
He had saved the voicemail from almost 10 years ago. He knew that after Benny Atkins' death, that one day his daughters would need to hear how much he loved them. It had come in handy, just when Morgan needed those words the most. Morgan was in a state of disbelief as she removed the headphones and rushed into Ethic's arms. She was so overwhelmed, so happy, so lucky, and she couldn't stop the joy from spilling from her. She had been motivated to do this because she wanted to feel normal. She wanted a boy to like her, but this was so much bigger than that. She had gotten to know a piece of her father just by hearing his voice, and it touched her soul.
So you come in for checkups every month for the next 6 months or so, but this is a lifetime change. Do you want to try to speak?
Dr. Hammity asked. Morgan shook her head. It was her greatest fear, opening her mouth and revealing what her looks never did, her handicap. She had done it as a kid and had experienced a humiliation that stuck with her all these years. She had taken years of therapy, speech and phonetics to teach her to mimic the lips and tongue movements of hearing people. She had memorized them all, but she never spoke in front of other people again. She was afraid of her own voice.
I've spoken to your therapist, Morgan. You've mastered phonetics. They think you have the efficiency of a naturally hearing individual. You just have to trust yourself,
Dr. Hammity urged.
It's no pressure. When you're ready. You'll use your voice. Medically, there's no reason why you're unable to.
Morgan nodded as the doctor stood to his feet. He shook hands with Ethic before exiting the room. Morgan was silent the entire ride home as she soaked up the things around her. She never knew so many things made noise. Everything had its own sound. Even the wheels rotating on the pavement was noticeable. It was amazing. It was like she had walked through her entire life, half living without the soundtrack that accompanied it. She had a slight headache from the different sensations she was feeling inside her ears. It was all so loud, and Easy was on 10 in the back seat. His racket she enjoyed, however. His sound matched his vibe.
Hey, Morgan, you want to know what a fire sound like?
Easy asked.
Ooh, what about a motorcycle? Ooh, daddy snoring?
Morgan smiled as the entire car burst into laughter. He was being a typical boy, gross, silly, and mannish.
Hey, big man, let Mo chill, okay?
Ethic said. Ethic was used to the amount of racket Easy made, but he didn't want it to overwhelm Morgan. She was used to processing only 4 senses. She would have to adjust.
Daddy, chill. She wanted to hear. Let her hear. Doesn't have to be such a big event,
Bella said with a slight attitude. Ethic turned and looked at her, sitting in the back seat, mouth in a pout, and arms crossed over her chest.
Hey, watch your tone, Bella. We operate with respect for each other, every member in this house. It's been a long day for everybody,
Ethic said as he pulled into the estate. He was beginning to think that the surprise celebration dinner he had planned wasn't such a good idea. He allowed Morgan to climb the steps first as he and the kids trailed behind her. When she opened the door, she jumped in a startle as she heard,
"Surprise!"
It literally felt like an explosion sounded off in her ears as Lily, Niche, Messiah, and even Dolce stood waiting for her. Her hands shot to her ears as she winced in pain. It was too much, too soon, and Ethic rushed to her side.
Baby girl, what hurts? What hurts?
He asked as he cupped her face as he watched her squeeze her eyes shut. Morgan took a moment to breathe as the silence fell over the room. Everyone stood, worried, gawking, as Morgan slowly opened her eyes.
You good?
Ethic asked. She nodded.
I just have to get used to it.
Ethic turned to the small group.
Hey, let's keep the volume down. Her ears are sensitive to loud noises, and she isn't comfortable speaking yet. So, we're just gonna take this whole thing slow, all right?
He said. Her eyes fell on Messiah, and then over to Niche, who came rushing up to her.
Oh my God, girl! Congrats, girl! I can't believe you didn't tell me! I know we've been distant, but when Ethic called, I had to come. You my best friend, Mo. I had to be here for this,
Niche said. Morgan was grateful when Lily announced that the chef had set the table, and it was time to eat. As Morgan walked by Messiah, she could feel his eyes on her. She couldn't look at him. She was certain Ethic had invited him, but the sight of him, with Niche, made her stomach turn. He wore his locks and cornrows to the back, and he was dressed in hood-rich attire, a Gucci sweatsuit with fresh J's. She didn't acknowledge him. She was so angry that if she did, she was sure she would cry. She just wanted to go to bed. She was emotionally exhausted, and she couldn't sit through an entire dinner with Niche sitting next to Messiah. She wasn't too proud to admit she was jealous, and she wouldn't give herself an opportunity to show it. She walked into the dining room and stood next to the table.
Thank you, everyone, for coming, but I'm in a little bit of pain, and I really just want to get some sleep. I'm sorry. May I be excused?
She looked at Ethic, who nodded. She instantly fled to her room. She didn't have the energy to handle this tonight. She couldn't put on a poker face and bear through it. She had been through too much, and she just wanted to retreat to the privacy of her room. Her head was spinning, and she didn't have the emotional moxie to pretend like seeing Messiah with Niche didn't bother her.
Poor thing,
Dolce said.
Thank you for inviting me. I've known Morgan since she was 11, and I'm glad I could be here for this. And I'm sorry how we left things.
Dolce stated.
Yeah, me too.
Ethic answered.
I thought you deserved to be here. Mo likes you, and you've been in her life for a while now, so.
And what about you? Do you like me, Ethic?
Dolce asked. Ethic rubbed the top of his head with both hands, feeling the waves under his fingertips. He didn't know how to answer that. Honesty was his policy, but with Dolce, she preferred the lies. The only time she blew up at him was when he was truthful about his inability to give her the affection she wanted from him.
You like what I do for you,
she said, whispering over his shoulder as she nibbled on his earlobe. He pushed her away, gently.
My kids are here, Dolce. Chill. You know I don't do public displays,
he said.
Then let's do a private display,
Dolce said.
I promise. I won't get attached this time. I just miss you, and I have an itch that only you long enough to scratch.
She slipped her house key into his pocket and then walked out.
You taking me home?
Niche asked as she noticed Messiah pull onto her street.
Well, I thought you needed me to cook up.
Messiah was tired of playing this game. Initially, he had planned to fuck with Niche because once he laid claim to her, he knew Morgan would be off limits. But she wasn't his type. When it came down to it, he couldn't seal the deal because he knew what it would do to Morgan. Instead, he taught Niche how to prepare his cocaine and how to turn soft into hard, stretching 1 kilo into two. She was cool, and they smoked weed together mostly. He would feed her after a long night of watching her flip bricks in the kitchen of the trap house, but he couldn't take it there with her. The attraction just wasn't mutual, and while he knew she was trying to bop her thotty ass right into his dick, he always kept it strictly professional. Despite her constant fronting on his social media pages, Messiah had checked her more than a few times about taking pictures of him without his knowledge, or while in his car, or posting in front of his Kawasaki. It was all a stunt to make her feel big in a small city. He wasn't with the games, and he was growing bored of her company. After seeing Morgan and watching her react to the noise that filled the room, all he wanted to do was talk to her. He couldn't while in Ethic's presence, but he hoped he had an opportunity soon.
Nah, not tonight,
Messiah said. He pulled up in front of her house and popped the locks, letting her know it was time to exit. He didn't even wait until she was inside her house before he pulled away. He found himself back at Ethics, sitting curbside as he burned a blunt while contemplating calling Morgan. He was playing a dangerous game. Ethic had the power to shut down his entire operation, and he knew firsthand what lengths Ethic was willing to go to protect Morgan. Messiah wasn't trying to jeopardize his relationship with Ethic, and he meant no disrespect, but the pull Morgan had on him was undeniable.
Come outside. I'm up the block.
Morgan. No. Her response had caught him off guard. He didn't blame her. Morgan was not only spoiled, but justified in the way she felt about him. He had handled her poorly, and he knew she wasn't going to make it easy to get back in her good graces.
You coming out, or I'm coming in that motherfucker? Which one's it gonna be?
Messiah knew Morgan wouldn't want to cause a scene. He didn't even know what he was doing there. He was far removed from sneaking around to see a chick. It wasn't his style. He was in his mid-20s and had left high school shit behind a long time ago. Anything immature turned him off, which is how he knew he had a thing for Morgan. She was just discovering the world, just getting her feet wet. At 18, she was green, but the way she looked at him made him feel kingly. Her silence was mystical. She was like a beautiful bird you had to be careful not to frighten, because if you got too close, it would fly away. That's why he admired her from a distance. But when niggas around the city began to shoot their shot, he began to feel territorial. He began to shoot his shot, as in bullets, because he would body any nigga that stepped to her incorrectly. His protection was no longer out of an obligation to Ethic, but out of infatuation for her. He wanted what he couldn't have, and it bothered him to the core, because Messiah was a man who could have whatever he liked, with whomever he liked, except her. He waited for her response, but it never came. Within minutes, he saw her walking down the driveway and towards his car. Her hands were tucked in a Michigan State hoodie, and she wore short cotton shorts that were barely visible. All he saw was legs as she walked towards his car. Flip-flop slapping on a concrete ground and a scowl on her pretty face. Her long braids were pulled up in a bun on top of her head. She opened the passenger door and climbed inside, but didn't look his way. He studied her. Her body language was tense and full of mistrust. She was freshly showered and filled his car with the scent of Flower Bomb body wash.
"Shorty do what?"
he said, his baritone deep, as he peered through his low lids. Morgan was incensed with resentment. He could feel her animosity. She even leaned toward the door. She wanted as much space between them as she could get. She normally smiled when he greeted her that way, but tonight she was giving out fuck you vibes, and he took them because he deserved them.
"Mo,"
he tried again.
"So I've been, fucking with the sign language a little bit."
She turned to look at him and stuck up her middle finger. He chuckled.
"Yeah, I know that went real good,"
he said. She smiled, only lifting one corner of her mouth.
She smiles. God must want a nigga to sleep tonight. He blessed me with that visual.
"What do you want?" she signed, her hands flying fast in frustration.
"You gotta slow that shit down for me, Mo. My teacher is you two. Do it again,"
he said. She signed again, and she was surprised when he answered.
"I just wanted to see you. Make sure you're okay."
She was astounded that he had taken the time to learn. She wasn't sure he was fluent, but the effort was nice.
"You can hear me. That's dope, Mo. I'm happy for you,"
he continued. He was rough with women. He rarely catered to their feelings, so he didn't know how to do this caring thing. All he had known them to be good for was pleasure. He didn't have a mother's love to shape the way he viewed women. All he knew was desertion, so he never let himself get close enough to care. If his mother had left him, all women eventually would, too. To avoid reliving that feeling of inadequacy and the sting of abandonment, he never let a woman get close. When he felt Morgan shocking the dead battery inside his chest, trying to power on his heart, he did the most hurtful thing he could do to make her lose interest. He knew he had fucked up by allowing Niche to put out the perception that they were more than what they were. He could feel the shift in his connection with Morgan. He hadn't anticipated how much he would miss it. She didn't look at him the same. Her gaze was no longer given in adoration, but in contempt. He had witnessed her disappointment in him. First at the hibachi spot, and again tonight. He couldn't have that. Like Ricky, he had some splaining to do.
"So, why won't you speak?"
he asked. Morgan looked down at her hands and twirled the rings on her fingers around.
"Are you afraid of what you might sound like?"
Messiah guessed.
"Well, I gotta say, if you sound fucked up, it's only fair. I mean, God gotta give you some type of flaw. You probably got a big manly voice, like a old Beyonce bass-sounding ass voice."
She smiled, and he wondered where this lighthearted side of himself had come from. He wasn't the wisecracking type, but he would do anything to break the ice with Morgan.
"The baby girl got me on freeze,"
he thought.
"There she go,"
Messiah admired. Morgan really was a sight to behold, and he didn't mind bigging her up because he knew beneath the fake confidence was a girl with insecurities.
"It's just me and you in this car, so let's talk. I'll start."
He lifted her chin with his finger, forcing him to look him in the eyes.
"I'm not fucking your homegirl, Mo,"
he said frankly. He needed her to know, and despite her eye roll, he continued.
"I wouldn't lie to you, Mo. I only bang with her on business. The rest of the shit she put out there is false."
Morgan's shoulders seemed to relax as her eyes watered.
"You hurt my feelings," she signed.
"I hurt your feelings,"
he repeated, deciphering the sign slowly.
"I apologize. I was on some asshole shit, trying to push you away."
"Why?" she signed.
out of loyalty to Ethic, out of respect. But when I heard you were trying to restore your hearing, it just fucked with me. It fucked me up. I couldn't be there. And I have a feeling you decided to have this surgery because you felt like you were competing with Niche.
Messiah said.
Am I wrong?
Morgan looked away. She couldn't admit that. She wasn't just competing with Niche. She was competing with girls like Niche. Normal girls.
There's no comparison, Mo. Real shit. Some women just don't have to compete. Women out here with fake hair, fake nails, fake contacts, fake asses, drawing on eyebrows and shit, squeezing into them shits to make them skinny, trying to hit angles for cell phone cameras to make them look thick. Just dumb shit. All for likes, all for attention. You know what you got to do for that?
He asked.
Just breathe. It's just that simple for you. The way your chest rises and falls when you're nervous, like now, is the sexiest shit I've ever seen. The other girls compete. Mo, you just exist.
Messiah sighed, because he knew he might be coming off wrong. Like he was trying to game his way back into her favor, but he was speaking all facts.
Listen, Mo. You can't be out here wilding. Letting niggas push up on you, touch on you, dance on you. Cause when I see that, my mind only goes to one place. Even if that bitch ass nigga didn't violate you that night, I was murking him anyway. That's how crazy I am over you, Mo. You ain't even mine. I only know it to be one way. And that's all the way in, or all the way out. And I never felt this way over any woman. I don't even give this much conversation to these hoes.
Messiah was high, so his candidness of his words was unfiltered and raw, but Mo was listening. This was a heavy discussion for a girl who had just learned how to hear mere hours ago.
I don't do the cuffing thing. I don't know how this is supposed to go, but I know how it is between us. Right now, it don't work for me. I fuck with you, Mo.
You fuck with everybody. She signed. That big head bitch Shayna claiming you, Niche claiming you, 10 hoes behind them acclaiming you. You for everybody, Messiah. Her hands were going, and he couldn't keep up.
Yo, it looked like you saying some bullshit.
He said with a smirk.
So I'ma say goodnight.
Morgan shook her head, unable to contain the giddiness she felt as she smiled. She cleared her throat and anxiously whispered.
Good night, Messiah.
It was raspy, and her S's sounded more like Z's, but she had heard her own voice, and the tears that came to her eyes were proud ones. She looked at him for validation, her eyes full of worry, as she waited for him to say something.
You gonna fuck me up every time with the way you say my name.
He complimented. As he placed a hand over his heart.
Night, shorty, do up.
She popped open her door and walked back up to her house. For her, Messiah waited until she was safely inside before pulling off into the night. Chapter 13. Ethic was a lonely man, haunted by ghosts, unable to shake his past enough to move forward to anything new. Dolce was a woman who thought she could change that, heal him, and that was her number one mistake. A woman couldn't change a man. He had to change himself. For the right woman, he would. Dolce wasn't that woman. To be fair, Raven was a hard act to follow. He didn't know why he was sitting outside her house, contemplating using the key she had given him. He knew he was playing with fire. Dolce had put in too much effort, too much time over the years to just walk away without expecting something in return. Ethic just didn't feel the soul-stirring pull that he had felt with Raven. Not for Dolce, at least. Still, he was a man, full of frustration, and he needed to release it. Instead of going home where he belonged, Ethic opened the door to his range and took long strides toward her front door. He used the key, letting himself in. As soon as he opened the door, Dolce stood there, wearing a sheer floor-length robe, 6-inch heels, and nothing underneath. No one could ever deny that Dolce was beautiful. She was exotic. She was half Hispanic, half white, and just remarkably pretty. Her light skin, long hair, and dangerous curves would be the only prerequisites for any other man to make his wife, but Ethic was different. Ethic wanted his wife to be a sister, black, mixed with blacker, full of sweet juice, and scented like shea butter. He wanted the woman he ended up with to be able to relate to his experience, to know what it was like to have strength and resilience, not because it was learned, but because it was inherited from generations of black people who had to be strong before her. He wanted nappy hair and intelligence. He wanted a woman that could make a feast out of a bag of beans and a neck bone if he fell on hard times, and it was all he could afford. A woman who could raise his children if karma came and took him away prematurely. She didn't have to come with much. In fact, she could have nothing. If her soul was pure and her heart linked to his own, he had enough to share with the right one. Dolce wasn't that woman. She was too pampered, too spoiled, and not cut from the same cloth he was. They were compatible sexually, but in all other areas they were opposites. Still, he was a man, and she had been sitting on his dick for years. As she approached him and rubbed the front of his Ferragamo slacks, he reacted to her. His dick had a mind of his own, as she aroused him, making it stand like a snake charmer.
"No strings, Ma,"
he said as he stared into her eyes.
"No strings, Papi. Lo prometo,"
she said, promising. Ethic needed to fuck. He was a man who prided himself on discipline, but the burdens he had on him didn't allow him to turn her down. He slid a finger down her slit and sucked in air, shocked at how ready she was. She was dripping, and although he was tempted, he wanted to make sure they understood one another. He brought his hand under her chin in a U, gripping her face, with enough pressure to command her movements.
"Look at me,"
he said. She lifted her eyes to meet his.
"If you're looking for love, I need to walk out right now. I don't have a heart to give you. This is just sex."
Dolce tried to kiss him, and he pulled back. He didn't kiss, not her. Ethic had only put his lips on two women in his life. Not even Bella's mom had felt his lips on her. Raven Atkins and Desiah Morgan were the ones he had tasted from head to toe. Dolce wouldn't be the third. Kissing was intimate, personal. That wasn't what this was about. He knew his stipulations were cold, but he was cold. He was frozen in a place where only hurt could exist. Hurt people, and he had warned Dolce of that. She was hard-headed. She wanted to accept what little he gave her, dick and fancy gifts with no emotions attached.
"I can't kiss your lips, so let me kiss this,"
she whispered as she lowered to her knees. She unbuttoned the expensive pants and then rolled them down his waist as he stepped out of them. He removed his shirt as she enclosed her mouth around him. He gripped her hair tightly as she sucked him into her mouth, using just the right pressure. Ethic's body was there in the moment as she stood and pulled her into her bedroom, but his mind was a million miles away. He didn't know how he had gotten to this point. When he navigated through the streets, he had always lived by a code. Now he questioned if he had any type of morality at all. He was going through the motions as he rolled a condom over his strength and watched as she climbed on top. Her rolls were slow and timid as she tried to inch down on him, taking him in with caution. The veins in his dick teased her walls as she found a rhythm. He had so much aggression, so much madness built up in his veins, and he felt it mounting as he matched her, trying to get her to ride him deeper. She was squealing with every pump, her perfect silicone D's bouncing while sweat trailed down her toned stomach. He lifted her. He was so strong that it was effortless for him to turn her around without ever taking himself out. He didn't want to see her face or look in her eyes because she was pleading with him. Dolce's expression was begging him to give her a chance. She wanted more. He knew it, and he couldn't look her in the eyes. She rode him backwards, her behind spreading. The sight of his blackness disappearing into her pretty toned ass made a prickling current pulse in the tip of his dick. He was about to come, and from the screams bouncing off the walls and the way her pussy smacked with wetness, told him she was there too. He filled the condom as she climbed down off the ride, flipping her bedroom hair over her shoulder.
God, I missed you,
she said with a smile. Dolce watched Ethic walk to her adjoining bathroom. Every muscle in his body was well maintained, from his thigh to his abs to his strong arms. He was just the perfect mixture of strength and lean.
If I could just get him to slip up one time,
she thought, as she watched him flush the condom carrying his seeds down the toilet. He showered, as she went to gather his clothes from where they lay, strewn in her living room. In all the years she had known him, he had never stayed the night, so she placed his clothes out on the bed as she shrugged into her robe. She went to the bathroom and closed the lid on her toilet, staring at him through the shower door. It was a shame how damaged this man was.
Why can't things be different between us more?
Ethic closed his eyes and lowered his head under the water. This is why he had to draw the line with her. Women confuse sex with love. It was like when he entered her, his dick beelined straight to her heart. For him, it was simple to separate the physical from the emotional. He pulled back the shower curtain and stepped out, wrapping a towel around his waist.
If I could give you what you wanted, I would. I can't be that for anyone. It ain't me.
Ethic said. He saw her disappointment, and he kissed her cheek to lessen the blow. He dressed quickly, in silence. There was nothing else he could say. Nothing she could say. He was leaving. It was what it was, love it or not. She walked him to the door, with tears in her eyes. When Ethic turned back to say goodbye, she couldn't help but plead her case.
Why won't you just try? Like, you could learn to be happy with me,
she said, eyes shining, sincerely. Ethic knew that time wasn't what they needed. It had been 10 years of casual sex, but he didn't want to be cruel by pointing that out. The fact that he had come to her home and transferred his energy without intentions of staying suddenly made him feel guilty. She wouldn't cut him off. He knew that. He had to be the one to show some restraint.
We used to have fun, at least,
Dolce reasoned.
Now it's like I'm only good for one thing. I'm just asking you to give us a chance.
Ethic felt tension at the nape of his neck.
It's not my intention to mishandle you. There's a diner not too far from here. You hungry? We can talk about it over food.
You would have thought Ethic was offering a 5-star meal the way Dolce's face lit up. What he wanted hadn't changed, but he surmised that he didn't have to be so cold towards her. He didn't mean to take advantage of her feelings. The least he could do was consider her a friend. He would figure out how to tell her over a meal. Maybe then his leaving wouldn't feel so abrupt. Dolce dressed quickly, then hopped into his truck, smiling from ear to ear. The diner was empty. It was past midnight, and Alani sat on a bar stool with 3 giant books in front of her, as she took notes in a journal. She had gone back to school to pursue writing and filled her days with classes, while waitressing filled her nights. She wasn't sleeping anyway, so she found it best that she didn't give herself time to think. Staying busy was the only way for her to stay alive. If she sat still for even a moment, she was sure to slit her wrist. She was so backed up with emotion and grief that she felt like death would be better than living without her child. Exactly 46 days had passed since the funerals, and Alani just couldn't crawl out of the funk she was in. Her shift was almost over, and she couldn't wait to get home, so she could soak her tired bones in a warm bath. It would be a long night of studying for her. She had a test the next day that she couldn't miss. The bell above the door rang, and she groaned and closed her book.
Somebody always want to walk in 10 minutes before I clock out, she thought.
She knew she wouldn't be able to leave now until the table was cleared. She went to the bin where the silverware and menus were stored, grabbed 2 place settings, and made her way over to the table.
Hi, my name is Lanika. I'll be your server for this evening,
she said. She smiled at the gorgeous woman who was facing her and handed her a menu. When she turned to the man the woman was with, Alani froze. She hesitated, and her falter caused him to look up from his phone.
Hi,
she whispered. Ethic made her wait for a greeting as he took her in. He noted the uniform and her sunken, sad eyes. She had dropped at least 20 pounds.
You work here?
He asked.
You know her?
Dulce cut in. Ethic ignored Dulce as he stared at Alani, who shifted uncomfortably.
Yeah, for about 2 weeks now,
she responded.
I'll give you guys some time to look at the menu.
She tried to rush off, only for Dulce to stop her.
Can you at least take our drink orders?
Dulce asked. Alani turned.
Oh, yeah, of course. What can I get you?
I'll take seltzer with lemon on the side,
Dulce ordered.
We only have regular water, no seltzer,
Alani said.
What about bottled water? Does this dump have that?
Dulce asked.
two regular waters are fine,
Ethic said.
Thank you.
Alani rushed off to fix the drinks. Out of all the diners in the entire city, Ethic had waltzed into hers. She had thought of him so many times over the past few weeks that it was borderline obsessive. The hugs he gave out were like magic. It was the only thing that made her feel like she could breathe after her daughter had died. She wished she could bottle them up and sell them because she would be his number one customer. She peered discreetly at the couple in the booth by the door as she turned up her nose in contempt.
She ain't even that pretty,
she thought. She knew she was hating. Dulce was beyond pretty. She was gorgeous, and exactly the type of woman she would expect Ethic to have. She didn't know why it angered her to see him with the light, bright beauty queen.
He ain't your man. Let the nigga live,
she told herself. Still, she was green with envy.
Niggas always want to get themselves a little foreign piece when they get some paper.
Her thoughts were fueling the fire in her chest. Alani rolled her eyes as Dulce moved from her side of the table to be closer to Ethic. She filled the drinks and carried them over to the table, setting them down. She felt Ethic's eyes on her, but she avoided looking at him. Clearly, he was out of her league, and even if he was fair game, she was in no shape to be thinking about a man.
Y'all ready to order?
She said.
I'll just have the grilled chicken salad,
Dulce said.
I'm good,
Ethic whispered.
You're not eating?
Dulce asked as she bent her brow and then looked between Ethic and Alani.
Hey, how have you been?
Ethic asked, again, ignoring Dulce.
And, who's Lanika?
He asked as he rubbed his goatee and nodded toward her name tag.
It's my middle name, she said. Only my family and close friends call me Alani.
And me,
Ethic said. She smirked.
Well, you don't call me much of anything, though. I'm just a customer, remember? Lanika will suit you just fine.
Alani looked at Dulce before turning to walk away.
Your salad will be right out.
We'll take it to go,
Ethic announced.
To go?
Dulce protested.
I thought we were eating and talking. What happened to that?
It's late. I should get home. Check in on Mo and the kids,
Ethic stated. It took all of 10 minutes for Alani to bring out Dulce's food, and Ethic didn't miss her attitude. He paid the bill, leaving a generous tip on the table, and then walked out, guiding Dulce by the small of her back. Alani had never been so jealous of a back in her entire life. As soon as she saw Ethic's range pull out of the parking lot, she hurriedly cleaned off his table so she could clock out. Suddenly, a glass of red wine was calling her name. Alani had one more table come in last minute, and by the time they left, she was drained. She threw her books in her tote and waved goodbye to the cooks as she walked out into the cool night air. She stopped mid-step when she saw Ethic standing in front of his car, leaning against the hood. He was alone. And she found a bit of relief in that fact, even though he owed her no explanations.
Come here.
It came out like a command, like a king who was perched on a throne giving orders to a peasant. He didn't mean to be bossy, but he was a boss. She could see it in the way he carried himself and the way others carried him. Alani was a stubborn girl, however, and nobody told her when or how to move. He had just flashed his little fancy girlfriend in her face, and yes, the little description was necessary, because Alani was being petty, something she was good at.
"It's late. I'm going home," she said.
She turned toward her car and unlocked the doors before climbing inside. When she turned over the ignition, it didn't start.
"Oh, please, not tonight. I got a point to prove, and you don't want to start right now with this fine-ass nigga watching my every move." "Great,"
she groaned as she attempted to restart her car. It chugged a little bit, but didn't start. She gripped the top of her steering wheel with both hands and let her head fall to her knuckles as she tried to control the sobs that were threatening to spill out of her. Why was life this hard? She didn't know, but Alani was ready to throw in the towel. Before, she had a reason to be this exhausted, a reason to go hard. She used to have a little person depending on her. But doing all this, appreciating the struggle, dealing with the exhaustion, and waiting for the glow-up, wasn't so worth it when all she was doing it for was herself. She felt Ethic's presence, but refused to lift her head. He opened the door and then rested his hands on top of her car as he leaned down. He reached for the latch to pop her hood and then rolled up his sleeves, disappearing behind the lifted hood.
"Your engine's done,"
he announced. He walked to her back door and opened it to grab the belongings he'd seen her carrying, and then reached out his hand for her. She didn't take it. Instead, she wiped her tears and stood. She took her tote from his grasp and started walking. It wasn't that far of a walk. It would make 10 blocks to her house.
"Alani!"
Her feet stopped moving. It was like they were playing red light, green light, and the nigga had suddenly switched the signal stop. Alani froze. She didn't want to, but she heard the impatience in his voice.
"I don't usually have to repeat myself,"
Ethic said. Alani placed a hand on her hip and was walking across the parking lot in a flash.
"Oh, well, little Miss, Seltzerwater must be super obedient," she snapped. "Who is she? Your little girlfriend?"
Ethic smirked.
"Yeah, I'm a little too old for the girlfriend thing."
Ethic showed teeth, this time finding her amusing.
"You are a piece of work,"
she said, pointing a finger as she turned to start her walk. When she thought of something else to say, she spun again, marching over to him. She was pissed he hadn't moved, as if he had expected her to double back.
"And I told you not to call me Alani," she fussed.
"Is she the reason why you didn't call?" she asked.
"She's not the reason that I do anything,"
Ethic responded.
"She doesn't belong to me."
"You're lying," Alani said. "That big head-ass girl was looking at me like she was ready to slap me for even speaking to you."
"Well, why does it bother you, seeing me with her?"
Ethic asked.
"Why did you double back here after you dropped your girl off?"
Alani shot back.
"You don't owe me any explanations, and yet you're here."
"Here I am,"
Ethic confirmed, as he stepped towards her, invading her space. He wrapped his arms around her, and she melted into him. He felt like home, and she clung to him, as if he might disappear if she let go.
"Can I take you home?"
he asked. She sniffed and wiped her face, before letting her eyes meet his. She nodded, and then he led her to his truck. They were silent as they drove through the city. When he pulled up in front of her house, Alani didn't move right away.
"You probably think I'm crazy," she scoffed.
"That's the furthest thing from my mind when I think of you,"
he said.
"What do you think?"
she asked.
"I think the universe is cruel,"
he said seriously.
"I'll have one of my guys take care of your car in the morning. They'll drop it off to you when it's done."
Alani opened the door and climbed out of the truck.
Thanks for the ride, Ethic.
Ethic stepped out as well.
What are you doing?
She asked with a frown.
Walking you to your door.
He answered.
What type of men have you been giving your time to, Lanika?
None like you, she said, as her eyes hooded in appreciation.
You can call me Alani. I like the way it sounds when you say it. Like you know me for a long time.
I thought that was reserved for close friends and family.
Ethic said, throwing her words back at her.
Exactly, she said. Friends call each other. Now you don't have an excuse not to reach out.
She smiled, and Ethic remained stoic because he knew he wouldn't call. He couldn't. He found her wildly intriguing, but to actively pursue her would be dirty. When she noticed how serious he remained, the corners of her mouth fell flat as her eyes squinted in curiosity.
Is he blowing me off? He comes all the way back to the diner, but he can't call?
She thought. The moment was turning awkward, as embarrassment filled her.
Thanks again,
she mumbled before rushing inside. She watched from the living room window as he made his way back to his truck. When he was gone, she went directly to the kitchen, where she knew Nanny had left a plate for her. She removed the aluminum foil from the plate, popped it in the microwave, and then brewed a cup of coffee. She sat down with her books, her food, her coffee, and her tears, preparing to battle another sleepless night.
Alani?
Alani lifted her head from the kitchen table, where she had fallen asleep, to hear Nanny calling her from the front door. She rushed to the front of the house.
What's wrong? What's wrong? What happened?
She responded in a panic as she joined her side and looked from her aunt to the white man standing on the other side of the front screen door.
Are you Alani Lanika Hill?
The man asked.
Yeah, who are you?
She shot back.
I'm Frank Williamson. I need you to sign here for the delivery of your vehicle.
He said.
Oh, Nanny is just my car. A friend had it towed. It died on me last night. I thought I had to pick it up from the shop, though.
She said, signing the clipboard the man was holding for.
No, ma'am. He paid us extra for us to deliver it to this address.
He said. She stepped out into the porch.
Where is it?
She asked. The man pulled a Mercedes key fob from his pocket and handed it to her. Alani looked at the man like he was crazy, and then at the key in her hand.
Oh, this is a mistake, she said.
No mistake, ma'am. Mr. Okafor gave us specific instructions. Have a nice day.
The man said.
Now first the man fixed your car for free. Now he done brought you a new one.
Nanny said.
It's gonna take way more than a pot of thinking for this one.
Better get that boy some pussy.
Nanny!
Alani exclaimed before bursting into laughter. Nanny began chuckling herself.
I'm not that old,
she said.
Least you could do was cook the man a meal.
Or I could give him back the entire car,
Alani said. She rushed into the house and dressed quickly, putting on jeans, an off-the-shoulder button-up blouse, and strappy heels. She pulled her thick curly hair up into a top knot, taking a toothbrush to her baby hair to lay it down. She went to the curb, admiring the E-Class Mercedes.
It was beautiful, but there was no way she could accept it. Last night he acted like he didn't even want to call me. Now this?
Ethic was impossible to read. She hopped into the car and drove to his shop. When she walked through the door, Redneck Larry's eyes widened.
I need to see Ethic now, she demanded.
Boss man isn't here,
Larry replied.
Well, get him on the phone, please, because I'm not leaving until I see him,
she said. She sat down in one of the chairs and crossed her arms impatiently as Larry made the call. The old white man wanted no problems with Alani. He had gotten her all-black girl attitude before, and it was too much for him to handle. He would let the owner deal with her. Alani waited, impatiently, because she had a test to take. It had already been an hour. If she waited much longer, she wouldn't make it to class on time. She stood.
Do you know how much longer it'll be?
She asked.
He didn't say, ma'am. I can try him again.
Larry offered.
Can I just have his contact info? I have to be somewhere, and I really need to speak with him.
She said.
I can't give out that information, ma'am.
Larry replied.
He is insane. He's buying me cars, and I don't even have his phone number, she thought.
Alani sighed.
Fine, she said.
She placed the keys to the Mercedes on the countertop.
Can you let him know that I left his car keys here?
She checked her phone. She had 40 minutes to get to class, and it was only about a mile and a half away. She had already missed the bus, and if she waited for the next one, she would be late. She stormed out and started her walk up the block. If she knew she would be walking, she wouldn't have worn the heels. Her feet throbbed along the way, and she second-guessed returning the car. Her phone rang, and she pulled it out of her tote to see a number she didn't recognize.
Where are you?
She recognized the voice instantly. She smiled as she thought. He called. Never mind that he didn't sound pleased and that he didn't even bother to greet her with a hello. She now had his number in her possession.